Hello and welcome to Women of Hope with Penny Mulvey. Do you embrace life with all its highs and lows, or do you fight it? Have you worked out how to give time to you? Well, today's guest has, and wow, is she an inspiration. Margaret Rowan Kelly, welcome.
Thank you, Penny. Great to be here.
I have to tell you, I'm thrilled to meet Margaret, as I've just read her book, Just the Ten of Us, and apart from leaving me exhausted, it's inspired me, challenged me, and made me laugh. Margaret, humour seems to have played a significant role in your life.
Penny, it has. I love to laugh. I love to make others laugh. But it's also been for me something of a survival mechanism. You've just pointed out the title of my book being Just the Ten of Us, meaning that Kieran, my husband, and I had 8 children who were at one stage under 11. I mean, that was insanity in this day and age.
And no twins amongst them.
No, one by one, the hard way. And we had a dream of a large family, and we fulfilled that, but we didn't understand at the time how much the world would change in the intervening years, and it's been a much harder journey than we actually anticipated. But laughter's been an extremely important ingredient for us in that. Now, I couldn't pretend to you that I haven't lost my sense of humour regularly through that period. I'd think it's gone. You know, I used to be so light-hearted and see humour everywhere, and I'd realise that, no, it hasn't gone. It's there. It's just buried under piles of rubble.
And so when does it bubble out?
When I become aware that it's not present. When I know I need to make some changes in my life to shift the rubble. When I know I'm not living fully because I've allowed fear or too much to do, busyness, tiredness, all of those things to overwhelm me. The humour is always available and we're always able to tap into it, but sometimes it takes some shifting.
And some of that has been looking back, I assume, but as you've told your story in Just the Ten of Us, it's littered with humour.
It is. My life's been littered with humour. I mean, some people even find it funny that anyone would have 8 children in today's world. And, of course, 8 and parents is community. It's a community of its own. It stands alone in many ways, and there's enormous humour generated out of sheer numbers. All of us coming together with all of our different gifts creates a lot of laughter.
Your husband's a bit of a hero, though, I thought, because the things that you've obviously stretched him on, that you've taken him through, that you've talked about, you clearly communicate very well.
We do communicate well. We've very much shared a spiritual journey, as well as a life-raising family, work-life sort of journey. We knew somehow from an early age that if we wanted this large family, that it was going to be absolutely imperative to build the primary relationship first. And we were determined, even age 21 and 26 when we married, that we would put energies into that relationship, and it worked. We did it in the simplest of ways, Penny. We decided that no matter what, we would have dinner together, for example, one night a week without children. If we could afford it, we went out to dinner. If we couldn't afford it, I would cook something special and we'd eat at home and the older ones would look after the little ones. We just knew that if we built that foundation strongly, that all the rotten things that would happen and all the stresses and strains of raising family and balancing the budget, etc., we'd survive that if we remained loving.
Margaret, one thing you mention a few times is being your authentic self. What do you mean by that?
That has been a life journey, but in the last 12 or 13 years since we left a country town and went to live in the city, it's become the reason I do things, the reason I breathe, the reason I live. I have set about focusing in every single area of my life on being a true self. Kieran and I made some dumb decisions in our lives, and as I look back, the consequences were very painful for some of those decisions, and as I look back, I can see that they happened because I was inauthentic. I did not give validity to that which I thought and felt. I was still role-playing, being the perfect wife and mother. He, of course, imagined, quite rightly, that we made every decision together. But we didn't. And I said, yes to things where I should have said no or caution. And it took me 2 or 3 years or longer to actually, instead of feeling fury at that, to actually beginning to take responsibility and understand that it happened because I was not authentic. I did not express what I felt and thought at the time. And those intervening years were quite difficult for us. They were probably the only few years in our marriage where there was a bit of a strain between us. It was me that had to grow. So having had that happen, I resolved that no matter what in life, I would live with my feet on the ground. I would be grounded. I would never agree to that which was not in my own heart and didn't resonate with the things that were there. I would certainly listen, but take a part in all decision making and take full responsibility for the outcomes as a result.
It would have been a painful process to go through that, though, because if you were a yes dear, no dear type wife initially, and suddenly you became a hold on, I'm not happy with that.
Yes, you know, I was never a yes dear, no dear wife. So some people listening to this would say that's not their picture of me at all, but you see, we all know our own hearts. In many ways, I express myself very well. I've had a husband who has been so enormously encouraging that I've just been able to do whatever I choose in my life. But I know my own heart, and I know when I was inauthentic and when I was not.
And can you still find yourself going back into that inauthentic self?
No. Such a deep work was done in me at the time that it was like a platform that I leapt from. I don't even care if the outcomes now are painful, at least I will own them. At least I will own them. That is just such a wonderful journey, that journey of authenticity, of listening to one's heart and trusting what's in there. And of course, the great thing about marriage and that kind of primary partnership is that when the two of us agree, there lies wisdom.
That's what has allowed you to write this book, because it's an incredibly honest, exposing book. I mean, you don't put yourself as being perfect in any way at all.
That's the understatement of the year. I find it an absolute pleasure to speak about that which is real, Penny.
You're listening to Women of Hope with Penny Mulvey, and I'm speaking with Margaret Rowan Kelly, mother of eight, former Miss Australia, fanatical cyclist, wife of Kieran and author, to name just a few of your achievements. We were talking about Kieran and yourself a moment ago. One of the things I found fascinating was the deliberate decision you made, the two of you, to release your children into adulthood.
We did. And again, it was a very special event, but again, it was brought about by the need for survival. Like, we reached an end of parenting in the ways that we'd once known it, of feeling responsible, undertaking to help them with decision-making, that sort of one-on-one listening constantly. We grew exhausted with that, and the point at which we said the way we parent needs to change, and I think, of course, this happens to every family, whether they have one, two, or eight children, we just said it's over. What we've known is over, and we need to create a ritual that expresses that. And the book describes, as you said in one of the chapters, how we did that. We wrote the name of each of our children, five girls and three boys, a separate name on a separate page. We wrote all of those things that we felt we'd given our children as gifts. But then we created a prayer for each of them too, as we focused on each one singly as to what our hope was for that child, that particular child's future. We wrote it. We put all those things together, and eight times, one after the other, we actually burnt them and we let each child go. And it was a ritual that was very powerful and very important. And I can't pretend again that it just happened through that one ritual. It didn't. But the ritual became the foundation for us to then, as a child would come to us with issues or problems or whatever, we would then say, no, we know now that we must step back from this. love and support, care, listen, do all of those things, but not take responsibility. These children have their own journey to make, and we, from this point on, release them to make that journey.
You're listening to Women of Hope with Penny Mulvey, and we'll continue this conversation shortly.